Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I am Mark.
I'm Rick.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for filling in this week.
Anytime, man.
We said originally when we got the kind of the new graphics and new... this is a green screen, by the way.
Yeah. Nice. I like, together, I like what you've done with the set.
Looks great. You on the show. It's taking a little while. Vlad and Nicola are both unavailable this week, so glad to have you on board.
I thought it's because it was December and close to Christmas time.
I was just going to say, Claus. It's a perfect time to have a Claus this time, mid-December. We do have one more show before we go on holiday break, so make sure to tune in
maybe,
next week as well.
So maybe I should ensure that they aren't available.
Maybe.
Gino with the baseball bat can go and visit them or something.
I know a guy.
That's my bad Canadian-Italian accent.
Canadian-Italian. Got it. All right. Well, we've got some announcements for you this week. Let's kick it off with Build. Build 2016, the dates are announced. We mentioned previously next year we had the time frames for each of our events for 2016 kind of laid out. Now the specific dates back at the Moscone Center.
March 30th to April 1st.
Yeah, so I
Do you get to go? Are you going?
I don't know. I was lucky enough to tag along last year to do some demo support. I have no idea. March to April for me right now is so far away, working on a week-to-week basis.
Nice.
But it'll be good to be back down there.
Build is the one that basically goes off, just in case you don't know, for some reason, you've been under a rock for the last 5 years. Build's the one conference that we do that's primarily targeted towards developers, almost exclusively, as far as the content's concerned.
The future-looking, what's up and brand new. Says right here that is the event is usually kicked off, when Supersite kicked off by keynote presentations from some big names. So imagine that we have not announced any keynote speakers yet.
Correct.
But always a good one to go to. You learn all about the code behind our scenes. Sometimes our code is actually in front of the scenes as we've been open sourcing more of our stuff nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And the most recent announcement of that is that we have open sourced Chakra.
Okay. Now, explain this to me.
So if you're not familiar with Chakra.
So all I know is that all of a sudden, Twitter blew up with this whole thing that Chakra was being open sourced.
So
I have no idea what it is, what it was used for, and why I should give a flying crap about it. What is it?
Originally, it was just part of the browser. So a browser is made up of multiple parts, right? There's the rendering part, there's a networking stack, there's the UI, then there's the JavaScript engine, which is one of the most important parts for performance.
Okay.
Because that's where a lot of code that's doing your interaction, doing like when you have things refreshing all the time or anything on an interactive website, that's what's running all that code.
So all the different browsers from all the different manufacturers, they go off to these various different testing and benchmarking sites to prove how good Java engine
and
rendering engine is.
Almost always, those are the JavaScript engines that are running in there that they're testing against.
Right.
Correct. Now, again, there's rendering differences and things like that.
Correct.
Now, Chakra has been extended now to support also apps and stores, server-side applications, cloud-based services. So JavaScript is pervasive across many, many things. So us open sourcing a high-performance, like enterprise, huge JavaScript engine, that allows a lot of people to dig in there and find out, you know, how that works. We've been pretty good about taking input and taking pull requests from people on the real world.
With it being open source now, is somebody able to go off and take and use that inside of their browser engine that they're making? Joe's browser?
So I don't know what the license
I guess,
is.
We're not licensing. We are not licensing experts.
definitely not.
You know.
So go and check out what it is.
Ever.
If it is open source, you are usually easily able to fork it off for your own things. But I don't know the details of that. Definitely check out the blog post. Check out the license itself. Check out the source code itself.
Now, this isn't the first time you've done source code.
No.
Remember the big deal at Build last year
was the fact
that we did Roslyn.
I think he did, didn't he push it?
He pushed on stage.
Made the repo live on stage. It's been a year. And so we have a little retrospective of what's happened with .NET over a year. It's funny, last week we mentioned that .NET 4.6.1 was released. And normally you look at the release notes, and I said, you could just go literally look at the code diffs. I'm not doing that for a framework like that, but you can, and that's pretty interesting.
That's nuts, man.
Looking at Roslyn Core CLR and Core FX, you can take a look about a bunch of the data about how often they've been forked, how much community involvement there has been. And there's a bunch of nice analysis. Actually, Scott Hanselman did a bunch of this analysis. Matt Warren here is reporting on it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see what Chakra may, what it means for Chakra and other things to be open sourced by us, take a look at what we've already done. And there's a good analysis already done.
Cool. I mean, a lot of people are thinking that we're just kind of doing this as the Vogue moment in time that's cool to be able to do in it, but we've been doing it for a while.
There's a lot of reasons people say that, you know, open sourcing happens, whether it's because they just want other people to develop it or it's not like a core thing anymore. I think there are certain things that make sense to get the most input, the mm-hmm. most interaction, and the most, you know, community involvement in, and for something as like substantial as .NET or like the entire JavaScript engine for our browser and JavaScript app engine, like that's pretty huge. So I like it.
Cool, man.
A couple weeks ago, we had Connect.
What is that? I'm not familiar with that.
It's a, I don't want to say it's a Visual Studio conference, but it's a conference you would virtually attend or attend if you're mostly interested in that kind of stuff.
Okay. It's
like very straight up developer.
That was the one that was in New York, wasn't it?
It was, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I was actually in Australia at this time.
And it's nowhere near.
I know. Completely the other side of the world and the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, there is a big write-up from Erica... Erly Cabral, feel free to email me.
Please
and yell at me for that one. I'm sorry.
Complete massacring of your name.
Connect. One of the things I love to showcase is instead of like here's a sample of how to use this feature, they love to do like vertical slices of here's how you connect all of our services and things. So this is a write-up over one of those examples called healthclinic.biz, and it's using Azure, Office, Windows, Visual Studio Team Services. Which was Visual Studio Online, renamed it.
Yeah.
It's an example of a real-world project that you can see what's possible in using all these technologies together. So it's a cool little scenario for a fictitious regular doctor practice. So all of you who are doctors who want to, you know, coders, you can figure out how that works. This is kind of open source, but do you have a Surface Pro 4 yet?
I don't. Mine is actually in my wish list to Santa right now.
Ah.
And I'm actually interested by this next one that you're talking about here, just because I already have an existing dock station.
Yeah, so if you
my
are.
My Surface Pro 3. By certain case you're wondering, I'm using my phone right now because my Surface Pro 3 is right over off camera at 82% complete for the November update that was pushed to me by my IT.
I don't understand how you got so long without the November update. Mine was required weeks.
It's called postpone.
You think you're the only one?
And then finally they said, you cannot wait any longer.
89%, we're almost there.
Yeah, it's getting there.
If you think you're the only one who hits postpone,
and so we announced during the Panos Surface release discussion that the dock would work with the 4, but you need to have an adapter.
Right.
And
you can get them free in stores.
Right.
But from what I've heard, I don't have a Surface Pro 4. I got the book.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous by this book purchase that you have, by the way.
Why am I even using this keyboard?
No, you just pop it right off. Look at that.
I will.
Pop. Oh, it hasn't unlatched. There you go. Just throw the keyboard like I throw mine.
Let's not. No, not throw.
Oh, that's the real one. You can't do that now.
If you're unavailable to get those
because there's
in
no
the
store readily available, or you're
or
nowhere near the
stock,
store.
You can outprint your own.
Okay, that's neat.
And we've officially, these are like from Microsoft, has supplied the instructions and files to 3D print your own. It's called a docking station spacer or adapter. It's just adapter. The spacing's a little different, but you'll be able to use that dock with your new hardware.
That is neat. And the fact that anyone can go and print that, because you can, even if you don't own a 3D printer, you can generally find different services that will make it available for you to be able to use. Almost like the good old-fashioned, here, rent my computer to use the internet for an hour for 10 bucks. That kind of thing. So those kind of stations are starting to show up
now. Or like
getting
your photos printed. Yeah, 3D printing is a service. Straight up, there's commercially available all over the place.
It's coming up all the time. Now, I'm excited about this next one is because the fact that, you know, you never have too many Xbox One.
Speaking of your wish list.
Yeah, so I've got one in the back room, and you know, Christmas time, hoping there's going to be another one's going to be showing up soon. But I happen to know that the deals are back on again for what was there. I did not pick one up during Black Friday sales myself, but apparently the Xbox One console now is available as far as a return. They're going down to what, like $299?
$299 for all of the bundle. Oh, sorry, starting at $299. Yeah. $50 off all of the bundles.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And they have bundles everywhere from Halo to Gears of War. There is the Xbox One 1 TB holiday bundle,
which
is the terabyte hard drive with Gears of War Ultimate Edition, Rare Replay, and Ori and the Blind Forest. So Ori is an amazing and beautiful indie game.
On another show.
In a different show,
right?
In the past.
Yeah.
So that's a great game. Gears of War Ultimate Edition is all the Gears, and Rare Replay is 30 games ranging for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
So that bundle will keep you busy throughout your holiday break.
And our legal disclaimer is that if you're actually looking at the slide, I don't know how you guys edit the show that much, but if you look at the slide and you see the Xbox One Elite with the Elite controller, please notice that we say starting at $299. You can't get that one for $299.
I don't know if I told you I got the Elite controller.
No.
It's amazing.
Are you?
It's so good.
Get out.
Yeah, it's really good.
I have been away from you for far too long, my friend. Definitely very, very cool, to say the least.
Speaking of new toys, we, after several attempts, have finally delivered some toys up to our good friends in the International Space Center.
That's right. That made it off the platform. It was canceled once or twice because of weather constraints.
It was, I think it was supposed to be Thursday. It was funny. It was actually, they were doing it during the recording of this show last week. So
We
couldn't include it because we were we're going to know.
Did it make it? Did it not make it?
And for weather, for 2 or 3 days, they had to postpone. They finally got a break. A break that we could definitely use up here. It's been raining nonstop in Seattle.
Yeah.
But the astronauts... Scott Kelly and Mikhail Korianko have received their HAL lenses, and they've talked to them and got a little bit.
Are they engraved with their names?
I don't know.
Personalized? They get to take it. Like, hey, this was my HoloLens.
Do they get the rose gold edition?
The bro gold.
They talked a little bit about their uses and how currently they have computers and they have big instruction manuals and they can look at their manual, look at their devices, but for complex procedures that they're going through, it's a lot easier to get these instructions overlaid in space and have both hands free.
And that was definitely one of the scenarios that we demoed from the very early days.
Yes.
What you can do.
The very early days. From the early days of
what I'm waiting for
computing.
Is I want to see the updated video of one of those astronauts trying to fix something on the space station with a Skype call down to mission control, talking about how to fix the U-bend inside their sink. But a space version of the U-bend.
You wouldn't even need one of those in space. I don't know.
You never know.
Works.
Well, I'm sure we could look up how they do plumbing in space if we absolutely had to. But hacking away at stuff, man, to be able to make things work.
Let's talk about our picks of the week. It is time for our picks. My pick of the week is an additional hack. If you haven't heard, the Raspberry Pi group has built together the Raspberry Pi Zero. It is a $5 machine.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's extremely tiny, right?
But it's $5. It's absolutely insane.
Now, to me, being a hardware guy, what kind of spec is on that particular type of unit? Like, can I run full-blown nano server on top of that
if
I wanted to?
You can run, Windows 10 IoT on the Raspberry Pi 2.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Zero. It's got, a network.
Yeah.
An ARM, 1 gigahertz ARM chip.
It's an ARM chip, so there you get right out right there.
And half gig of RAM.
Yeah. Oh, like, it's got a Broadcom GPU.
Yeah, it's got network. It's got
half gig of RAM.
Yeah. Yeah. So like it's a machine. Like my Raspberry Pi 2, it's hooked up to a television and like I can stream stuff and it's beautiful.
Okay, so I want to know, what's the purpose of this?
Well, this one they shoved inside of a controller, an original Xbox controller.
The big one.
The Duke, as it was called. So maybe it wasn't that hard of a project because they fit it in there. And made it a console in a controller. So it's just got a plug. You plug it into a monitor.
It's like those arcade retro joysticks that
only
have the analog plugs in the back end of them. You can plug in your TV.
It's exactly like that. Inside an Xbox controller, original one.
No.
This is one of the first hacks I've seen with the Raspberry Pi Zero. So you're saying, like, what's possible with it?
Yeah.
Video games.
Nice. So I'm actually jealous now because I just gave the last of my original Xboxes to Goodwill, and now I'm going to have to go back and try to pick one up to see if I can do this. Or I can probably stop by GameStop and pick up one of those controllers.
You probably get one at Goodwill.
Oh, yeah. You never know.
He says he has it running the original Doom.
Oh, nice.
So maybe not, like, the newest, not playing Fallout 4 on there. But still pretty cool.
Nice. My pick of the week, actually, this week is something that's near and dear to my heart, and also apparently multiple thousands of you who have already gone and downloaded it. It is the fact that we have now gone ahead and announced Open Live Writer, an open source version of the original Live Writer tool that you know and love if you've ever had to edit or work with a blogging software of choice. It's now available. Hanselman was definitely involved in the back scenes, as far as I remember, trying to negotiate and figure this all out. I remember one time there was a very poignant tweet that he said saying, hey man, if I can get X number of thousands of retweets of this, that might actually do it.
He can get retweets.
Oh yeah, he's got the followers, man. So they definitely open sourced it just recently. A number of people are working on the project. I don't know if anyone's forked it yet to make any changes.
I'm sure there are.
Whatever, but the idea is that now it's available. So now I'm asking you, I can go to the GitHub site and I can go and bring it down. Hopefully it's compiled. If not, I'll compile it or I'll give it to you to compile for me. And then I'll have the most recent version.
That's how it works. Usually they'll have binaries for you to download.
Okay, the binaries
to make
are
it
done.
Easy. And then there's kind of like release points.
Yeah.
Depends how they're managing it. I'll tell you, the amount of time I worked on Channel 9, I'm not a big blogger, but I've worked on blogging platforms.
Yeah.
And anytime our live writer support like broke with a bug, we immediately got emails.
Absolutely.
I never knew how many people still used it.
I still go to get.live.com to go and get the Windows Essentials kit to be able to get LiveWriter installed on my laptop.
This is how far we're going back for everyone who remembers the Windows Live era.
So now I'm going to have to go off and get it. It's now part of the .NET Foundation. It's managed by a group of volunteers. They're actually looking for people that are going to be willing to go download it and work on bugs because there's actually bugs that they're already filed against it. People will have to go and get it. You can go ahead and download it from openlivewriter.org. And apparently they've christened it with the release number of 0.5.
That's a good round number to start.
I don't know why they start with that one. 0.5. But that's my pick of the week for this week in Channel 9.
That's it. That wraps up for this week. Thanks again, Rick, for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been great being back in the studio.
Yeah. And we will see you next week. Again, one more week before we go on our holiday break. So we will see you same time next week. Poof. Thank you.